knowing the Father is not important. In this matter of the worship, we are not just worshiping a true God, an objective true God. But remember, we are having a wonderful relationship with this God, not as our Creator, but as our Father who regenerated us. Peter says, giving thanks to God and Father who regenerated us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen. So we are now sons of God. 1 John says, behold what manner of love the Father has for us, that we should be called the sons of God or children of God. Right? So this relationship with the Father is a sweet and loving relationship. I think nothing expresses this relationship more than when Christ was on this earth. His relationship with the Father was that of love and obedience. The Father proclaimed, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Son declared everything that he had done on this earth, it was the Father in him, and it was for the glory of the Father. Right? And he was so obedient and well pleasing to the Father. It is a wonderful, loving relationship. And this should be our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Right? Once upon a time, 20-some years ago, I believe it was in Hong Kong, I shared concerning the Gospel of John. I told the saints there, this is actually the Gospel of the Father. Because in this particular Gospel, John talks so much about the Father. So much about the Father. Right? So even his coming to this earth is to declare, make visible, right, this wonderful invisible God. Right? And he came from the bosom of the Father. So you can see what a wonderful relationship. And the Lord's intention is to bring us into this wonderful relationship with the Father. So today, as Christians, as God's people, not only people, but as the Father's children, we need to have a loving, wonderful, intimate relationship with the Father. If we don't, then we cannot go on with the worship in John chapter 4, because then when we come together and you're worshiping to an objective, far away God, just like any other religion today worshiping God. They didn't know what they're worshiping. But this worship that the Lord is talking about is a worship that requires an intimate relationship with this living God. And what is more intimate than a relationship between Father and his children? Right? You need to understand this. Don't try to analyze the triune God, because you cannot. You cannot. The more you explain about the triune God, sometimes the more specific, the more you are entangled, and at the end you get lost. You don't know what to say anymore. Right? You say, how can it be possible? Well, of course, with God all things are possible. You and I, you cannot be in two places at once, can you? Can you be two different persons at once? No, you cannot. If you do, as a human being, you'll be schizophrenic. Right? But hey, God, he is God. He is both the Father and the Son, and it's very difficult for the human mind to grasp and understand. How can he be there as the Father and he comes here as the Son? I don't know. But he is God. Let me read to you in the Gospel of John. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 30. 2, would you please read just that verse there?
Sure. Mm. I and my Father are one.
What? Again?
I and my Father are one.
Are one. So are there two or one?
One.
One. I and my Father are one. This is really wonderful. Essentially, they are one. Right? And the Father is in the Son, and the Son is in the Father. So how many are there? How many?
One.
Because the Lord said so. How about you go to chapter 14? Chapter 14. Let's read verse 28. You heard that I say to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to my Father. Where did he go to? Is he one with the Father? Yes. And how come he has to go to the Father? Then what did he say? Now you read it again to me. The same person who reads John chapter 10 verse 30. Now you read this verse. No, yeah, 28 at the very end. For?
My Father is greater than
you. Wait a minute. Are there two now or one? If there are one, how can one be greater than the other? So how many are there? Still one? No, come on. Tuan. Yeah. Right? It's hard for us people to grasp. On one hand, he and the Father are one, essentially. One in a purpose. Really one. And the Lord told Philip, if you see me, you see who? You see the Father. And so, who is greater? No, it should be the same if they are one, right? But the Lord says, my Father is greater than I. So, how many are there? In chapter 10, they are one. In chapter 14, they are two. Why? Why? You see, only God can make himself like that. Nobody else can do it. That's why he's God. But he's a wonderful God. And God did this for our sake, to become a man like us. First of all, to declare the Father to us. What is a better way to declare the invisible Almighty God than to be a man himself? Right? This is the best way for God to reveal himself. So, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he became a man to declare the Father. And then, as a man, he died for us, because no one can die for you. A cow cannot die for you. No, a sheep cannot die for you. In the Old Testament, those are just a picture, a type showing Christ. So only a man, a perfect man, is qualified to die for you. So the Lord Jesus came, first of all, to declare the Father. Then you see him, you see the Father, because he and the Father are one. And the Father dwells and fills the Son, and the Son is in the Father. Then, as a man, he accomplished redemption on the cross. So who died on the cross? Don't say, the Father died on the cross. No, 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 no. The Father judged the Son on the cross. The Son died on the cross. Right? Who shed the blood? Whose blood is it? How come in Acts chapter 21, Paul says God bought the church with his own blood. So, does God have blood? Is God flesh and blood? The Father has flesh and blood? Of course not. Don't be afraid. He said, no. No. Right? But it was the Son who became a man. Who became a man. To accomplish all that. So, when the Son shed the precious blood for our redemption, it was actually the blood of God. But not the Father. It was the blood of the Son. Amen. But remember, the Son is also God. Except that he identified himself with you, so he's a man. So as a man, the Father, who is God, is greater than he. Because he took your position. But remember, only God can do this. No man can accomplish such a mystery. I wouldn't call it a feat. It is a wonderful work of God to make himself triune. To make himself triune. Nobody could do that except God. 只有神才能够这样做。 That's why you can see in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. How many, George? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So how many? And the Word was God. How many? My goodness. One or two. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's two. And the Word was God. That's one. Oh, my goodness. So one or two. Two in one. One in two. This is really wonderful. Right? So he was in the beginning with God. So who is he? The Son. So are there two or one?
Two again.
Two again. Yeah. Because he was in the beginning with God. Oh, Father, amen. This is really wonderful, right? And so you can really see at the end in John chapter 20. Let's go to John chapter 20. This is really wonderful, right? So this is the goal. This is the final result of the work of Christ. Jesus said to Mary, right? Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Oh, my. He has to ascend to the Father. How many now? Two. Two again. Oh, my goodness. Right? Now he said, yeah, but go to my what?
Brethren.
Now we become the brethren of Christ. That I, and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God, and now he's your God. This is the result of this wonderful accomplishment of Christ on the cross. So the Lord Jesus came to this earth, not just to bring redemption, but through the redemption and regeneration, now his God becomes your God, and his Father becomes your Father. This is the whole result of this wonderful gospel of life. I hope you appreciate it, because in this wonderful relationship, we were brought into this wonderful worship. And without a triune God, you cannot worship God. First of all, he cannot be your Father. Right? Without Christ, how can he become your Father? No. And then secondly, to go and worship the Father, you need what? You need the offerings. You need Christ as the offering to bring to the Father. don't come empty-handed. So no one comes to the Father except through me, the Lord said. So every time you come to the Father, it's so good to bring a gift, an offering to the Father. You bring Christ to the Father. Anyway, I hope that the saints, especially those who have been very many years now in the church life, you have to now learn a relationship, to build up a relationship with God as the Father. Remember, His Father is now your Father. It's a wonderful thing. That means the relationship that Jesus Christ has with the Father, or had with the Father, now can become your relationship. Right? Your relationship to your dad is exactly the same as the relationship with of Jasmine with your dad, because we have now the same Father. Right? So praise God. You have to really build up this subjective, wonderful relationship. Because without it, you cannot worship. Because you're worshiping the Father. And the Father is seeking such to worship Him. So eventually, the whole nation, everyone will worship God. But their worship is just bowing down. They're afraid. They have to hear, do whatever He says. But we, our worship, we are not worshiping God as a creator, as the Almighty One, the number one in this universe. We are coming to the Father. My, this is a wonderful relationship. Learn this, because if you don't, you cannot understand John chapter 4. Your worship will not be sweet to the Father. No. It will be just something objective. So this point is clear, then we can go on. Because the main object of worship is the Father, and we are here to satisfy the Father. So every time we come the Lord's Day, Mo, are you coming for what? The saints? You're coming just to enjoy the Lord as a table? Or are you there for the Father? Yeah. This is a big question to everybody. Right. Unfortunately, most of the meetings are just for the saints and for ourselves, for our enjoyment. From now on, David, the meeting in Toronto must have a change. The goal of our coming together is to worship this wonderful Father. Right. And now we can see how to worship Him. Let's go back to chapter 4. And later on we can go to the outline, into the outline. But I may not follow the outline. Let's go back to chapter 4. The background is, the Lord says, you don't know who you're worshiping. So we should know who we are worshiping. And the Jews know who they are worshiping objectively, not subjectively. Because they didn't really know God as their Father. And they even rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, so they didn't know. Now we know, praise the Lord. Because now this very wonderful God is our Father. We are all born again, we know. So this is a very important point. Know who you are worshiping. Right? Worshiping the Father. Learn to call Abba, Father, every day. All the time. Abba, Father. Oh, Father. That's right. Now, oh, Lord Jesus only. Learn to say in a good way, oh, Father. This will be very well pleasing to the Lord Jesus. Right? And don't stop calling on the Lord, of course. Right? But when you need him, you call Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Right? But in a normal way, you need to say, Abba Father, dear Father, I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. Right? To call Abba Father. You ask my wife many times when we are together, we go, Abba Father. Abba Father. She heard me too many times, Abba Father. Even when I'm taking a shower, Abba Father. Refresh me, Abba Father. I call him, call on the Father. Right? And the Spirit just moves. It's not that I need help, you know, but I love the Father. It's just a nearness to the Father. It's to be close to the Father. That's why Paul said that he has chosen us right from the very beginning to be holy and without blemish before him in love. In love. This is a wonderful relationship to the Father. Praise God. Amen. Now let's go back to John 4. Now let's see how to worship. The woman said, we worship in this mountain. That's any mountain. The Lord says, okay, you worship in that mountain, that's the wrong place. But the Lord didn't argue with him about the wrong place, because from now on, it's not the wrong or right place. It is not a physical place anymore. The reality now of Jerusalem is the Spirit. You know, many times we talk about the church. One city, one church. One city, one church. Doctrinally, this is right. Of course, how many churches can you have in one city? Right? One country, how many government?
One.
Why only one? You don't ask why. It's normal. Right? How many government should we have? Of course. How many government do you want? If you have two government, they'll be fighting. In Germany, how many government? It used to have two. But now, praise God, is one. One city, one church is not a definition. It's just a normal situation. If we have so many churches in one place, that means we're all divided. Right? But if you are really standing on so-called one city, one church, but you're not in spirit, you're in the flesh. So, one city, one what kind of a church? Fleshly church. You think that's a church? Well, we're standing in the ground. One city, one church. That's a good doctrine. That's correct. Well, it should be normal. But then the question is not one city, one church only that makes you the church. What about if you're in the flesh and nobody's alive, everybody's dead? So one city, one dead church. It is the Spirit. God is Spirit. It's not physical anymore. Remember that. In the Old Testament days, the place is Jerusalem. That's a physical city. It's a physical. You have to go there, either by plane, by train, by camel, or whatever. At that time, you have to go, I don't know, walk, or by camel, by horses. I don't know what you use it to go there. But today, the emphasis in the true worship is the Spirit. That does not mean that one city, one church does not mean anything for us anymore, that we can just do anything we like. No. But the main thing is you must be in spirit. If you're not in spirit, nothing works. Nothing works. Remember, the new Jerusalem is the heavenly Jerusalem. It is now a spiritual Jerusalem. 是属灵的耶路撒冷。如果你说异地议会还是那么属地的话，那异地议属地的会，那个是不是教会啊？那是人的组织了，不是教会了。教会今天是属灵的，是在灵里的。彼得说是一个灵宫， it's a spiritual house. That's what Peter said. The church today is a spiritual house and built up with living stones. Suppose you and I are dead. Here is a dead brother, she, and a dead brother, so. And we're trying to build up a dead church. Two dead stones building up a dead church. Is that a church? But we are standing on the ground.
No.
We're standing on the ground, right? Do you believe in the ground?
Yes.
Oh, yes, me too. So we are now the church. Two dead stones build up together are now the church. Huh? How about that? Benny? You will say, no. There's no such thing. The church is a church. Well, I can read to you Revelation chapter 3 concerning Sardis. The Lord says, you have a name that you are alive, but you are? Dead. You mean you said a church can be dead? A dead church? So what's a dead church good for?
Good to be buried.
Suppose I die tomorrow. I'm the father-in-law. I die tomorrow, and he loves me so much. And you are you going to keep me in your house, the corpse?
No way. You'll stink.
I'll stink. So what are you going to do with your dead father-in-law?
Quickly, properly bury it.
Bury it. That's it. 一个死的教会对神有没有用处啊？ 神是活的，那教会是死的，那这个怎么说法？ How can the living God have a dead church, you tell me? As much as we love somebody, if he's dead, what did James say? The body without the spirit is dead. Oh, come on, you all know that verse, what James said. The body without the spirit is dead. That's why, because God is spirit and is alive. It is the spirit that gives life, remember that. Right? God is not only essentially spirit, but this spirit is alive, it's life. 是生命的，是活的。那一般死人要来敬拜这个活神，你说可以吗？ 雷德华， 不可以啊。 不可以啊。 If we are a bunch of dead people, you want to worship the living God, Timur, what's mine to do? Okay? Of course not. If you're dead, how can you worship the living God? Impossible. That's not possible. Huh? God is lebendig. Yeah, God is living. You cannot worship the living God if you're dead. Where is it written? Where is it written that a dead cannot worship God? Show me a verse. The verse just came to me. In Psalm. Psalm 1:1 what? Let's turn to Psalm. Psalm 115, or is it 115 verse 17. Father God. 17.
Okay, who wants to read it to us? He who has it, please read it in King James.
The dead do not praise the Lord.
The dead, yeah,
nor? Nor any who go down into silence.
Go down into silence means buried, silence and dead. Can the dead speak?
No.
Right. But for us, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The dead cannot praise the Lord. It's not possible. No, and God, it's not possible. And God will not accept such praises, no. So, praise the Lord. We have to be in spirit because God is spirit. God is spirit. You need to know this, right? And now in John chapter 3, in John chapter 14, right? John chapter 3 is that we are born of the Spirit. Now in John chapter 14, let's go to John chapter 14. Since I can't count John 14, huh? 约翰第十四章, Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, yeah. Let's see what John 14 says. Let's start with 17. How about that? Yeah. Or 16. Let us start with 16. Mm-hmm. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. How many now? How many now? No, it's three. The Lord, the Father, and He sent another helper. So how many now?
Three.
Are you sure? You know how to count? Three. Okay, three. That is the spirit of reality, the spirit of truth. Now, it's really wonderful to say that He is now the spirit of truth, meaning to say this spirit is the substance now of the Father and of the Son. The spirit of truth, of reality, whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold Him or know Him. 世界上不认识他的, 因为见不到嘛, 也摸不着嘛, Right. So, the world cannot receive because the world doesn't behold Him nor know Him. But you know Him because He abides in you. He abides what? With you. Now, let me tell you. Was the helper there yet or not? Because the Lord, what did the Lord say? I will ask the Father and He will, what?
Give you.
So, was it given already or not yet? But how come it says, you know Him? How do you know Him? How can you know somebody who didn't come yet? You tell me. You know, the Lord is speaking in riddle to them. But you know Him. Not only you know Him, because He's with you. Now, who was with them now?
The Lord.
Huh? The Lord Jesus. Right? And the Lord Jesus, who was already with them, says he's going to send another helper who is with them. Now does he need to send him? If the Spirit is already there, why the Lord has to send him? You know why? You're right. Because that helper is going to be the Lord Himself, not different from the Lord, except the Lord will come as the Spirit now to them so that He will be in them. Today, as the Lord, the Spirit is in the Lord and with the Lord, so the Lord is that Spirit with them. But when the Lord goes, then the Spirit will come, not just abide in them, but now within them. So listen to the tense, okay? The tense, grammatic, the grammar, the take care of the grammar here, right? Because he, what? Abides with you. What tense is that?
Present tense.
And will be in you. What tense is that?
Future.
Yeah, that's very good, right? Am I right? Are you an English major? Almost, right? You, Sarah. You just graduated high school and going to college. You should know English. Abides with you, what tense is that? Present tense. That means, is he there or not? Yes, he is. But he will be in you. What tense is that? Future. Future. Meaning to say, that spirit that the Lord is going to send is actually himself. It seems there are two, but how many are there? One. But at that time when the Lord was with them, the helper that he's going to send abides still with them. But then when he comes, he will be in you. Is the Lord in them yet at that time? No. But when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit comes in them. And so who is the Holy Spirit? Is he one or two with the Lord Jesus Christ? Two or one? Two in one. Or you can say one in two. Whatever you want to say it. One in two. Two in one. Right. So then in verse 18, it's so strange. I will not leave you as orphans. He will come to you. No? What did he say? No, come on, read your Bible. But I'm going. I will send him, the helper, so he will come. That's a wrong pronoun. I think the Lord made a mistake. He should say, he will come to you, right? Isn't it true? Even in Canadian English, right? You want to say, he will come to you, right? Am I right? It should normally say, I'm going to send the helper, another helper, all right? So if I send him, I will be with you. Will you say that? No, that's not the right way to say, right? If I send him, so he will be in you. And he will come to you. But the Lord says, I will come to you. My goodness. So how many are there, Tao?
Two in one.
Two in one. Ah, I'm glad you should learn to say that. Two in one. Two in one. So now it is the Holy Spirit within us, because the Holy Spirit is not only the Spirit of God, now he's the Spirit of Christ, and he is Christ himself. Let us turn to Romans chapter 8. Don't analyze. These are just facts. Just know the fact. That's good enough, right? Do not analyze. Do not say, how can it be? Don't ask that question. Right. With man, it's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. Verse 9. Right? However, you are not in the flesh, but in spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So who dwells in you? The Spirit of God. Then it says, but if anyone did not have the Spirit of Christ, or does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So the Spirit of God is also the Spirit of Christ. Are there two spirits or one spirit? One spirit. Okay, that's verse 9. And verse 10 says what? If what? No, the Spirit of Christ is in you.
No, don't change the Bible.
If
Christ is in you. But it says before, the Spirit of Christ. So who is the Spirit of Christ? Why is it so complicated? You should tell God, God, why is it so complicated? God will say, because you're complicated. That's why. It's for your sake. 圣灵就是主耶稣本身，也是神的灵，也是基督的灵，也是基督的本身。圣灵在你里面，等于基督在你里面。但是基督本身复活了，有那个身体是升天了，坐在天上，坐在父神的右边。Now the Lord rose again, becoming the life spirit, a life-giving spirit in you, but he sits in the heavens at the right hand of the Father. So where is he today?
In heaven and in me.
In heaven and in you. So where are you? Where are you? We all need to say this is wonderful. Remember, all three are one. And yet, there is a full distinction and function concerning the triune God for your experience. Because it is the holy anointing that is dwelling in you that gives you life and make you alive, and yet it is Christ who is that life. And that life cannot be in you without the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord, who is the Spirit, physically is sitting at the right hand of God as a man, and spiritually he is the Holy Spirit now in you to be everything that Christ is to you. And he's going to teach you all things. He's going to lead you into all the reality. Only you need to learn now to live and walk by him. So eventually, don't just say, oh Lord, teach me. Ah, the Lord will say, you tell the Spirit that. I'm on the throne there. I have a lot of things to do. I'm interceding for you. But it is the Holy Spirit now, the anointing in you. He will teach you all things. But Lord, teach me. The Lord says, no, the Spirit is dwelling in you. He will teach you. Have you ever talked to the Holy Spirit? It's your job. Do your job in me, okay? Do it well. Teach me. We have that song, teach me your way and show me your path. Do we not sing that? Teach me your way. Show me your path, right? You sang that song? What's the difference between way and path? Way is the main direction. The path are the smaller directions. Amen. We need to know the general direction and we need to know the detailed path and who is going to show you the path. It must be the Holy Spirit. Don't say the pastor. No, he doesn't know it himself. No, nobody knows the path. Because if I know the path, I'm already there. You won't see me here. Only the Lord knew the path because he has gone through. Now, the Holy Spirit in you is going to teach you all things. Don't say, oh, I heard, yeah, you know, the teachings 20, 50, 100 years ago. Well, that's 100 years ago. Well, those people have not reached the goal yet. The Lord did not come back yet. So there are many, many detailed paths. Right? Coming even from New York to here. I asked, do you know where it is? Oh, yeah, it's in Pennsylvania. Well, where is it? Montrose. Well, he knows the way. He knows the general direction. Then I thought, well, he knows, so I'll just go to sleep.
I found out, no, he still needs a direction. Oh, now I come to this point. I said, I thought you know the way. Right? He knows the way. How come he didn't know? Well, because there are so many different paths yet. The small detailed paths you don't know. And who is going to show you? You need a spirit. The Holy Spirit within you. The anointing that teaches you all things. Do you trust Him? Do you experience Him? You need to pray, Lord, anointing, Lord Spirit, teach me all things. Teach me. Teach me, especially concerning your ways and your paths today. Especially what the Lord wants to do now. We all need the Holy Spirit to teach us. And don't just practice what you know in the past. Because you haven't reached the goal yet. Don't be distracted. Right? We stopped by a certain place there to use the bathroom and we got distracted by Sears. That's why we came late. Because instead of coming to Montrose, we went to Sears. So we quickly ran out of Sears, got back into the car, and drove to Montrose. If you haven't reached the goal yet, don't stop. You should ask the Holy Spirit to show you, show us the way until we reach the goal, until the Lord comes. Before He comes, there are still so many little paths that we need to take. Follow the Lamb wherever He goes. What does it mean, wherever He goes? How do you understand that verse? Follow the Lamb wherever He goes. What does it mean? Did He stop? No. If He doesn't stop, then there's no need to follow the Lamb. You just stop with Him, that's it. No more. But if He keeps on moving wherever He goes, that means He's still going. And you stop. That's not good. If the Lamb is still going and you stop, sorry. I don't want to stop. I want to know exactly not what He is doing 50 years ago, not what He is doing 30 years ago, not what He is doing 10 years ago, not even what He is doing last year. I want to know what He is doing now. You young people better learn that. Otherwise you get stuck. In serious. You need to go on with Him. Never stop. Right? And that's why the Holy Spirit is now in our spirit and we are one spirit with the Lord. And the real building is if you are in spirit, I'm in spirit, He is in spirit, and all of us are in spirit, then we will really be built up together and growing up together. Because if you're in the flesh, you're in tradition, you're in religion, it just cannot mix. But spirit and spirit are like magnet. It just black, just come together. Even if you don't want to, there's a force that brings us together. Really wonderful, because it is from the spirit to spirit. If you're not in the spirit, you're in tradition, you're in the flesh, you're in yourself, or you're in Babylon, you're just practicing whatever you've been doing the whole time since your great-grandfather and grandfather and your father and now you. We cannot be built up together, no. But if we are in spirit, praise God, then all of those things will just drop. That's why to be born again, you have to be born again of the water. Because the water will cover and deal with everything in the past. And then the Spirit brings what is of God into you.
We need the Spirit. Without the Spirit, not possible. That's why to be a true worshiper, remember, today, our Jerusalem is not in Palestine. Not that Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem today is a heavenly, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, Zion. You remember Hebrews 12, yeah? You sure? You all know Hebrews 12, right? What does it say in Hebrews 12? No, no, don't open your Bible. What did it say in Hebrews 12? You have come to Zion, to Mount Zion. And what is Mount Zion? The city of the living God. And where is that? In Palestine. The heavenly Jerusalem. And the spirits of just men made perfect. So you have Zion, you have the city of the living God, you have the heavenly Jerusalem, you have the Spirit. Amen. And that is the kingdom, unshakable kingdom. I don't know what to say anymore. Really, don't think that this has nothing to do with the kingdom. Because Jerusalem, Zion, is both the place of worship and the seat of the king for his kingdom. Right? And in the millennial kingdom, all the nations must come to Jerusalem to worship the king. What can I say to you? All these years we've been telling the saints, the Spirit, it almost just becomes now a slogan to you. Oh, I already know that. No, you don't. I don't want you to know. I want you to live and walk according to the Spirit, to bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. What is the use of knowing? When I was your age, how old are you now? 40. Huh? 40. 40. Oh, no, that's too old now. how old are you? 30. 28. 31. 31 is also a little bit old. How about you? 21. 21. Oh, very young. But when I was 26, 27, 26, even 25, when I was in Los Angeles, 25, right? I told the Lord, I don't want just to know I have a spirit. I want to know how to walk by it. I want to know how to live by the Spirit. I want to know subjectively. So many people know, oh yeah, I know the Spirit, yeah. But it's not a matter of knowing. It is a matter of where are you? How do you live? Do you walk by the Spirit according to Galatians chapter 5? Or are you mostly in the flesh? And the flesh is always fighting against the Spirit. So are you walking by the Spirit? If you are, do you see the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you? Love, patience, right? Friendly to the saints, not hating one another there. Long sufferings, you have endurance, self-control, and all that. And much more, the virtues of Christ. If you're walking by the Spirit and you don't see those virtues, you may be fooling yourself. Right? If you're walking by the Spirit, oh, you'll be in a different realm. Right? You will really enjoy that fruit of the Spirit there. That's why I said, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, is built up together in spirit. If we are not in spirit, no, you cannot worship. You can sing wonderful songs. You can do a lot of wonderful things. But to be in spirit is something different. Praise the Lord. Right. May the Lord help us. This is the first condition, in spirit, because God is spirit. There's no other way. Not the flesh, not in the soul, no, but in the Spirit.
Learn this. Amen.